I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Panthers Insider, an in-depth preview of the week.
You shot, he scores!
On the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Here's the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always on a Saturday morning, coming to you live wherever you're tuned in right now. However you're tuned in right now, we thank you very much for being here. If you're wondering how I'm getting this show on the air, well, I right now am inside the home radio booth at Amerant Bank Arena here in Sunrise, where tonight the Florida Panthers will play their second home game of the season, looking for a third straight win. Second game on their four-game homestand. They're taking on the Vancouver Canucks. 7 o'clock tonight, Panthers and the Canucks right here at Amerant Bank Arena. We'd love to see you here in person. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets if you want to see the Panthers live. Going for that third straight win here tonight. Looking to get that overall record to 3-2-0 on the young season. Long ways to go this season, but the Panthers have shown a lot of encouraging signs here in the early stages. As I mentioned, back-to-back wins. Really good win on home ice last time out. We're going to talk about that in a moment. They beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in the home opener by a 3-1 score back on Thursday. And then on Monday, the Panthers had a nice road win over the New Jersey Devils, another team that's in that contending mix in the Eastern Conference. So the Panthers coming off not only a couple of wins, but a couple of big wins over big-time opponents. So we'll talk about those coming up. Yesterday after the Panthers practice, had a chance to hear from the head coach Paul Maurice as well as defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. So we'll hear from them coming up here in a few moments as well. Next segment, a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast that dropped yesterday, the Panthers official podcast presented by Baptist Health. New Panthers forward Stephen Lawrence sat down with me and Jameson Olive. So we will hear some of that coming up next segment. Of course, if you like what you hear, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find Territory Talk, the official Panthers podcast, whether it be Spotify or Google Play or FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk. Always a good place to start as well. And coming up later on in the hour, Bally Sports Florida Panthers analyst Jeff Chychrun is going to stop by. Of course, you can catch the Panthers game tonight across the radio network, wherever you're tuned in right now. You can hear the game coming up later on this evening. You can also watch the game over on Bally Sports Florida with the entire crew there. So, again, lots of ways to consume Panthers hockey. Consume it in mass quantities. It is good for you. I mentioned the radio network tonight. You can catch the game. If you're tuned in Miami-Dade and Broward counties, 790 WAXY is your place to tune in on the AM dial tonight. So that's where you can tune in South Florida. 1230 The Gambler in the Palm Beaches, Real Radio 101.7 in the Treasure Coast region, and of course 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. And hey, check out the new Panthers app, by the way, the new look Florida Panthers app. Right on the main screen, right when you log in, there's a little button in the top right corner during the game that says radio, and you can hit that button. And I don't know that in the history of online listening or app listening or multimedia consumption that there has ever been an easier way to locate your favorite team's radio broadcast, to hear it online and to hear it for free, than right there on the Florida Panthers app. So again, download that app, and during the game tonight you can hit that button on the top right corner and it'll get you right to the radio broadcast, and they can't make it any easier. Folks, Panthers back on ice, on home ice this season. Get your seats for the upcoming, or I should say, for the 30th anniversary season. We are into that 30th anniversary season. Single game tickets are available at FloridaPanthers.com. Again, SeatGeek.com as well. And again, 954-835 pocket place to tune in. Let's get into talking about the week that was for the Panthers, of course, coming in 2-2 tonight to the game against the Vancouver Canucks this evening. But we're going to turn back the clock a little bit to the earlier part of this week. It was Monday night. The Panthers were looking to rebound from a loss to the Winnipeg Jets, which was 1 week ago today. The Panthers went into New Jersey for game three of a season opening three-game road trip, and they bolted out to a nice lead. They were able to preserve that lead, although the New Jersey Devils had a late push. The Panthers picked up a 4-3 win over the high-octane New Jersey Devils back on Monday night. Here are some of the big plays. How they sounded on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. And the puck played inside the Devils' zone by Sam Reinhart. Handled by Siegenthaler. Winds it around the boards. Kept in by Barkov over on the far wall. He's met by a couple of Devils there. Puck pop free. Rodriguez has it. A shot. Tipped and they score! And the Panthers are on the board. Sam Reinhart out in front. May have gotten a piece of that. 1-0 Panthers. 3:54 into the action. Pass straight on off the stick of Jesper Brad. He'll continue in after it. Puck played down to our right. Balinskas had his man tied up. Mahura near side. Tkachuk flips it out through center. And caught by Brendan Smith. Verhaeghe in. Backhand. Top shelf. He scores. Carter Verhaeghe picked that one up. Dashed in. And he beats Vanacek upstairs with a backhand. 2-0 Panthers. Down behind the net, Jack Hughes in front of the goal. Shot! Oh, what a save by Bobrovsky with the glove on Brad. As the penalty kill comes to a close and the Panthers are 2-for-2 on the PK tonight. What a save by Sergei Bobrovsky to deny Jesper Bratt and keep the Devils off the board tonight. John Marino has it for New Jersey. Buys some time and space. Bank pass near side. Gave it away at center. And the Panthers are back into the offensive end. Verhaeghe bounced to Kulikov. Right circle Tkachuk in from the score. And it's Nico Mikkola cruising in from the point. Jams it home. His first is a Panther. And the Panthers take a 3-0 lead with 8:42 to go here in the second. Here's Barkov into the near circle. Out to Ekman-Larsson at the line. Backs up. Long shot tip. They scored. It's Sam Reinhart on the power play. Got a stick on that. 4-0 Panthers. Up the left side. It's Hughes. 8 seconds. He got crossed up with Hischier. And that's going to help the Panthers cause. Final seconds ticking away. Tkachuk. He'll launch it toward the open net. The horn sounds. It went in the net. That's not going to count. The horn sounded. But the Panthers get the win here tonight. 4-3 year final here in New Jersey. So it was a nice win for the Panthers. 4-3 was the final in New Jersey. The Devils, one of those teams. I know the Panthers bolted out to a 4-0 lead, but hey, to get a win over a team like that on the road, you'll take it how you can get it. They bolted out to a nice lead, had some insurance. New Jersey, they held them down for two periods, and that's a tough offense to keep in check. They kept them in check for two periods. New Jersey did turn up the urgency and the desperation in the third, but the Panthers were able to maintain their advantage, get the regulation win, got out of there with 2 points, and then it was off to Amerant Bank Arena for the home opener on Thursday night. So that was the last game for the Panthers. They went into the game on Thursday with a record of 1-2-0 on the young season. And when they hit the ice against the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course, Toronto, in the same way New Jersey did, they had their flurries at times, but the Panthers did a heck of a job keeping the Toronto big guns at bay throughout that entire game. The Panthers picked up a 3-1 win, and it sounded a little bit like this on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. The end boards, a battle for that loose puck. It's kept to the outside by Klingberg, given away, right circle, a shot, and they score! And it's Kevin Stenlin with a heavy wrist shot out of the right circle, and the Panthers are on the board with 2:52 to play here in the first. Ekman-Larsson rattles a backhand to the end boards, picked up again by Reinhart. Over the far circle, Barkov up top, it's Ekman-Larsson, a shot, and he scores! Shot from just inside the blue line through traffic and all of and Larson has the Panthers up a pair. Nylander far circle across Matthews right circle. Heisler Klingberg a drive. It's blocked by Stenlin and then he's able to clear from his knees all the way down to our left and that should just about do it here. The Panthers are down a man so no icing out of the zone quickly. It's Riley across far side Marner 5 seconds and Reinhart broke it up the line. Reinhart fires at the distance and it's in the net. He scores as time expires and the Panthers knock off the Leafs here on the home opener.
What a gutsy effort at the end by the Panthers.
Was it ever, as the Panthers maintain that 3-1 advantage? That's what they won the game by, 3-1. The Panthers getting one from Oliver Ekman-Larsson in that one. His first as a Panther. Kevin Stenlin, his first as a Panther. Seeing a lot of that going back to Monday in New Jersey. Nico Mikkola, a big goal that was his first with the team. So, again, great to see some of those newcomers to the Panthers lineup get on the score sheet and do it in important situations nonetheless. So a couple of big wins for the Panthers coming into tonight's 7 7 o'clock game against the Vancouver Canucks here at Amerant Bank Arena. And as the Panthers were preparing for tonight's game, yesterday after practice, had a chance to catch up with Panthers head coach Paul Maurice, but also new defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And, well, the first thing I asked Oliver Ekman-Larsson yesterday was how to feel to get his first goal as a Panther on Thursday night.
I don't really think about it too much, but it's obviously nice to get a goal and kind of chip into the team. That's what it's all about, but most importantly, a win.
I know it's one of 82, but with the home opener, was there a little bit extra on that one, and considering who you guys were playing against too?
No, I think so. I mean, obviously, you want to be a good home ice team. Want to take care of business at home, and I thought we did that yesterday. I thought first period was all right, pretty good, and second, we kind of got away from our game a little bit, and then in the third we controlled it really good and got a big win.
What's the feeling you anticipate going up against your old team tomorrow night?
I mean, it's always special, right? Playing against guys that you've been to war with and just battling on the ice with, so it's special, right? So it's gonna feel a little bit weird, but I think when the game starts, all that kind of goes away.
So Panthers defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson right there. And, yeah, he's going to be playing against the Vancouver Canucks, the team that he played for before he signed with the Panthers during the offseason. So talking about how that's going to feel right there. And, again, this is a guy that's playing over 25 minutes a night here in the young season, really helping pick up some of the slack with some key Panthers players out of the lineup. That's been well documented. No Brandon Montour, no Aaron Ekblad, no Sam Bennett here yet at the start of the season. So impossible to completely fill the shoes of the players I just mentioned, but Oliver Ekman-Larsson, one guy who is really helping ease the blow here early on, and a big reason the Panthers have picked up a couple of wins in their last two games. Let's get to hearing from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. Again, this after practice yesterday, we just heard from Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and the first thing I asked Paul Maurice was about Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Scored on Thursday night. It was a display of his ability to just get those shots through from a long distance. Here's what he had to say about what Oliver Ekman-Larsson has kind of made an art.
He's been doing it his entire career, and we would know it, right? We would play, he's in Arizona, we were up in Winnipeg, and we'd play against him, and we would put six clips on the power play of, you got to get in front of that shot, you got to get in front of it, and we still couldn't. So what he does is he has a whole bunch of different ways to shoot the puck, right? Some of them are half passes, some of them will shoot hard, but for a stick, he's just got the gift that he works at it, and it's so good now. Especially, you're going to see more and more shot lane teams with a bit more collapse to the net front. Having a guy that can get a puck to the net, change speeds on it, critical.
And picking up a win over Toronto last night, I know it's only one of 82, but in the home opener against that opponent, you had kind of the rematch of the playoff series feel. Was there a little extra to that
one? Yeah, for sure. I think the best part for us was the third period. I like the way we played in the first, for sure. You get up two, that's good. But we got back on the puck in the third period and got more aggressive and generated some of our best chances in the third. So I like that we weren't trying to hold on to a one goal lead from the drop of the puck in the third period. We had to get a big kill, and we did that, and then attacked. So it was great. It was great building. All Panther fans, it was nice.
Canucks coming in here, a team you don't see a whole lot over the course of a year. Yeah. What stands out about what they do and the matchup tomorrow in general?
Well, pretty significant change there in style of play with Rick Tocchet coming in, and two big wins against Edmonton, and then they have a good one against Tampa. That's a hard game. So they're playing the kind of hockey you would expect from one of his teams. They're hard, they're fast, they put pucks to the net. They do have some really nice young skill that's kind of now got a few years' experience in there. So they're going to have a good year this year.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there talking about tonight's matchup against the Vancouver Canucks. That, of course, after practice yesterday. Panthers and Vancouver tonight at 7. The homestand continues with the Panthers and the Sharks on Tuesday. A 7:45 start. We'll be on the air with Panthers preview at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. And the Panthers wrap up this four-game homestand a week from tonight against the Seattle Kraken. You don't want to miss any of the action. Amerant Bank Arena. You can get your tickets at floridapanthers.com, SeatGeek.com by calling 954. 954-835-PUCK. Bring all your friends. Group ticket packages for this season are on sale now. Organize your next outing at Amerant Bank Arena. Celebrate the 30th anniversary of your Panthers with friends, coworkers, or family at Florida Panthers games this season. Get your fan experience today. FloridaPanthers.com/groups. Call 954-835-PUCK. Would love to see you here. Coming up next segment, we're going to check in on, the Territory Talk podcast dropped yesterday. A new episode. Stephen Lawrence, newcomer to the Panthers lineup, joined us. Also later on in the program, we will chat with Bally Sports Florida Panthers analyst Jeff Chicker, and that's going to be coming up a little bit later on. So lots to get to here. Doug Plagan's with you. It's Panthers Insider. Dan Day doing a great job on the other side of the glass. We've got more to come on the other side of the break. It's Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back, Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagan's with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. I'm coming to you live from Amerant Bank Arena, where tonight at 7, the Panthers take on the Vancouver Canucks. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Panthers app, brand new home for all things Panthers hockey. Download the Panthers app today at FloridaPanthers.com and stay up to date on all the latest news, videos, stats, scores, sales, foundation updates, and so much more. The new Panthers app, also, I mentioned it last segment, could not make it any easier to listen to your favorite team's radio broadcasts. The top right corner, there's a button that says radio. Click on that during the game and it pulls it right up. It sounds great, sounds clear, and you can access the radio broadcast every single game just like that. And of course, yes, it is always going to be the Panthers feed. So again, check that out if you can't be out at the game. We'd love to see you here tonight, by the way, as the Panthers look for a third straight win against Vancouver. But let's get now into a recent cut from, well, the most recent episode of the Territory Talk podcast, Panthers official podcast. Dropped a new episode yesterday. Jameson Olive and I were joined by Panthers forward Stephen Lawrence, new to the team this year. And well, here he begins by talking about how his first home game, how his initial experiences have gone with his new team.
Like you said, it's been an exciting start. I think, you know, just having the organization and the team back, obviously after the run they went on last year, it's exciting to be a part of. And, you know, it's I've been welcomed with open arms, so I can't complain about a single thing. It's been almost too good to be true, it seems like. You know, I'm having a lot of fun here, coming to the rink every single day. It's a very positive environment. It's something that I think is you know, key if you want to have success winning hockey games. But, you know, everything from, you know, coaching, management to the people behind the scenes, it's been fantastic. So I feel right at home and I'm very happy with things so far.
Do you feel like the new guy? Because there's actually there's a big group of new guys here. So you can fit in with that group. Do you actually kind of feel like you stand out as a new guy yet?
I did a little bit at first, but it seems like I've been, like, again, it's like guys were welcomed with such open arms that it feels like, you know, I've been here and I've known all these guys for a lot longer than I really have. So it's a great feeling. Obviously, anytime you can go to a new place and there's not really a huge transition period, it makes you a lot more comfortable and you can get that confidence and get the ball rolling early. So that's kind of what I've felt so far. So it's nice that, you know, I haven't really come with a lot of nerves and there hasn't been a lot of days where I've, you know, wake up with a little bit more, you know, maybe anxiety or stress. It's just been very, very easy and nice coming to the rink, and it's been a lot of fun.
What was it like the day you found out that Panthers were going to be the destination for you?
Yeah, it was a weird day. I was up at my sister's house and I got a phone call. Actually, I had two missed calls. I missed the phone call, so I called back my GM in San Jose, and he said there was a trade, and, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to be a part of it. And I didn't really hear the first few words, but then he said Florida, and I said, okay, well, that's a good step, I guess. You know, there, I guess there's, you know, colder or worse places to play, but
another coastal city. Which
yeah,
is
that's
good,
right. Yeah, I've been very fortunate with some of the coastal places I've played, but no, I was more excited the fact that, like I said many times, knowing the run that these guys went on last year and knowing that I could be a part of that going forward this season is very exciting. All I've ever wanted to do my whole life, you know, growing up in Canada is win a Stanley Cup, right? So, you know, having that opportunity, looking around the locker room, knowing that these guys are really chomping at the bit, trying to get back to that spot they were last year. Obviously, we don't want to rush back there. It's a long process throughout the season, as you guys know, last season. But, no, I'm very excited to be a part of the group. And, you know, I'm confident that what I offer, you know, on and off the ice is something that can help this group go a long way.
What's your journey been like personally? Obviously, you're a guy that kind of really had to fight your way up into the NHL. Now you're here. You're an everyday guy in the league. Just kind of how'd you go from that point to where you are now, do you think?
Yeah, you know, it was like a quiet confidence and just work ethic. I knew that, you know, I was a lot smaller. I was a bit of a late bloomer, so I was drafted.
You were later. Small?
Yeah.
You're a big dude.
Believe it or not, yeah, you know, I was...
Is that growth spurt, like, smaller? It was like, lanky?
It was a late growth spurt. Yeah. I think I was probably about 18 years old, and I remember coming home at, you know, I was... major junior, almost 17 years old. Sometimes I'd be coming home from the rink almost in tears, asking my parents, like, when am I going to grow eventually? And it just kind of happened one summer. And it just kind of went from there. And, you know, I had to get coordinated and stuff and get used to the size that I had and try to put on some muscle. But it was the same thing for about 6 or 7 years. It was just, you got to get bigger and stronger, a little bit faster. And, you know, I just always listened to my coaches and GMs and what they were telling me. And it was just so simple. It wasn't easy, but it was simple. So it was, you know, just basic things that I knew I had the tools, but if all I had to do is just work on my speed, you know, that's something that you can control. So I did that. I just, like I said, I listened to coaches, and eventually I just got opportunities, and I like to think I took the most, or I made the most of them. So looking back, it's already been 4 years in this league, and I think it's like my 7th year pro. No. So it's scary to think how fast it goes by, but I've enjoyed every minute of every day. You know, we're very fortunate to be able to do what we do, and you meet so many great people along the way that have helped me get here. So you know, I'm over the moon, and like I said, I come to the rink with a smile on my face each day, because, you know, it's good hockey club. You're playing hockey in Florida, and you get to live out your dream. So what more could I ask for?
But it's not your first time playing hockey in Florida. That's the interesting thing. Nope. You did 2 seasons over there with the Everblades.
Yep.
Before they were with the Panthers. Any good stories from just Estero? I mean, it's obviously very different from Fort Lauderdale, right? But just any stories from those days?
Oh, I mean, those were some of the best years I had playing hockey. And, you know, ideally, it wasn't where I really wanted to be at that point, but looking back, I think that was the best thing for me. I think if I would have been rushed in the American League, and, you know, maybe I wasn't really ready for it, going and playing in Florida, meeting some of those guys, and, you know, guys down there had NHL games, so they could kind of guide me and share stories with me on what it was like to, you know, what you had to do to get to that next level. So, I mean, just the long bus trips, the overnight bus trips on the sleeper buses that, you know, there's... And I can take pride in saying that there's a lot of guys here that don't really know what that's like, maybe fortunately, but those were some of the best memories. When you finish a game and then you have your little stall or your little nook on the bus and you just go crash for a few hours and you got to listen to the engine. Sometimes you had to sleep on the floor.
Do you remember like the longest like bus trip you took? Because obviously Everblades are kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
We got stuck on a road trip one time going to Atlanta, and there was an ice storm, and I think that bus was there for like 23 hours. So we're out kicking soccer ball in the middle of the highway, and yeah, it was crazy.
Where was it stopped? Where exactly were you?
Couldn't even tell you. Just on the highway somewhere going towards, somewhere in Georgia, I believe. So,
every time when you're walking on the tarmac to the team plane right now, you're feeling pretty good, right?
I'm feeling pretty good. And you know what? It could have been a bad day at practice. Could be on a losing skid or something like that. But, you know, when you look at the menu on the team plane, you're getting served food, it's like, okay, well, you know, things could be worse. So, yeah, definitely fortunate.
And talking about your journey a little bit, now coming to the Panthers here, and you and I talked about it before one of the games on this recent road trip. You like to play a, you know, high-tempo forechecking style. That's what Paul Maurice has going here with the Panthers. But looking at where you've been before, that's kind of what Rod Brind'Amour preaches, is a high-tempo forecheck. And David Quinn does the same thing in San Jose. How much did it help having been in those situations, playing those systems, coming here? And maybe how much of an impact did Rod make as your first NHL coach?
Yeah, I mean, I've been spoiled, you know, with some of the teams that I've been on, the players I've played with, and the coaches that I've played for. Just so much experience and so many little pointers and stuff like that have made me, you know, the pro that I am today. Like you said, there's high intensity, fast paced, aggressive, in your face kind of systems. That's, you know, even starting in the minors before the year in Carolina was very helpful in you know, developing my game into what it is, and just being on pucks and using my size and my reach and my stick to my advantage, and then just, you know, the little things, rather than, you know, not cheating and skating by a guy, just get a little bump on him, and you don't have to lay a guy out every single time, but just getting in guys' ways and using my size really to my advantage. Again, I'm not going to go run around and start headhunting, but, you know, you're making, when you're knocking pucks down and disrupting and you're just getting bumps and turning pucks over on the forecheck, you know, that goes a long way, and momentum swings and energy swings throughout the game. And I think we've shown that as a line with Lombo and Steny throughout the first few games of the season, that, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, you got to go score a goal or make a huge play. You just got to, it starts with a forecheck. It starts with a turnover. You rumble around in the zone a little bit, and then the next line goes out, feeds off that momentum, and then next thing you know, you got that momentum swing. So it's just knowing your role, and we're very comfortable doing that. And I've had a lot of fun doing that over the years, and you know, it's been a lot of fun so far this year doing the same thing.
And you're obviously a vocal guy. Lomberg's one of the most vocal guys in the league, probably. Kevin Stellan, though, he had a big game yesterday. He seems like more of a quiet, reserved guy.
Yeah.
What's he like on the bench, on the ice? Does he not do a lot of talking?
He's just like that. He's kind of the voice of reason, I guess. If he's talking, or if he's giving you, you know, a little word of advice, you're going to listen, obviously. You know, a guy like myself or Lombo or Cousins, you know, you can hear us chirping on the bench, just trying to keep things light, or we're yelling at another guy on the ice. And that's just part of, you know, what keeps us engaged on the bench. And, you know, we're not going to be a line that plays, you know, 20 minutes a night consistently. You know, we only might get a handful of minutes, but we want to make ourselves noticeable, and we want to keep that energy up. So when we're called upon, we're ready to go. So, I mean, like you said, Steny's a little bit more quiet, but he's not quiet when he's on the ice. You know, he's either making a big block or just solid plays, and it's not always flashy, but he gets a job done, and he's a great guy to play with, very easy to play with.
And the home opener in the books, got a big win in that one, but what can you say about the environment that you felt, the electricity? I know, you know, everybody had a great time at that home opener, picking up a win over Toronto.
It was a special night, seeing the banner go up there. That's obviously very special, being a part of one, and when I played in Charlotte, seeing the banner go up, it's special. The fans come and they show support for the team night in and night out throughout the season, so it's nice that they can show up and be rewarded with a little, you know, a banner going up in the crowd. And I know the boys appreciate, obviously, when the building's loud and it's noisy and fans are rowdy. So getting a taste of that yesterday was awesome. It's a loud building. It's very fun to play in. I love hearing the goal horn go off. So hopefully there's a lot more of that this year. And yeah.
Usually when we get guys on, we do a little research, we dig up old Q&As and things like that. But for yourself, guys that kind of take, you know, the alternate path to the NHL, not a lot. I couldn't find much on you from over the years, other than just like game reports, you know, post-game interviews. So for fans that are just getting to know you for the first time, just... Who's Stephen Lawrence? What's going on? We don't know a lot. You're from Waterloo, but like, what's like? What are you into off the ice? You know, things like that. Tell us a little about yourself.
I think I'm pretty easy to please. I don't have. I mean, hockey is probably the number one thing in my life since I was a little kid. I think the only person that really wanted me to play in the NHL, or the only person that wanted to play in the NHL more than me, was my dad. And, you know, he, I don't think, had quite the opportunity to do that. He was a farm boy from just outside of town.
Yeah.
He was a defenseman that just liked taking heavy slap shots. So he said his career path didn't really have a beginning, but, you know, he gave me all the opportunity in the world to live out my dream. And, you know, I wouldn't be here without my dad and the support that my family gives me. So after every game, you know, no matter how good or bad I play, I look forward to a text from him. And usually he says
you didn't take enough slap shots, right?
Yeah, that's right. He told me last night, he said, you know, if a game where you don't play a ton and you don't have a lot of opportunities out there, he said, you know, just try maybe next game to rip a slap shot. So I said, Dad, it doesn't really work like that. But I always look forward to going home, especially in the summertime too, after the season's done, to just relax and unwind, to go back and spend time with my family. I have three sisters. I got freshly engaged this past off season.
You did? And
yes, I
Congrats.
Did.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Erin, she's awesome. So she's an athlete herself as well, and both of our families get along really well. So it's
what sport does she play?
She plays, it's called ringette. Have you ever heard of ringette?
No, explain.
So it's kind of like hockey. It's on ice, except there's no blade. There's a ring, and you got to stab it, and you pass, and you shoot. And it's just like hockey. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Where's that big? Like, where's like the?
It's big in Canada and Finland, actually.
Really?
So it's pretty.
So do you ever talk to like Sasha and the guys about ringette?
I've talked to some of the younger guys and guys who I've played with in the past. They know a lot about it because a lot of those girls that play ringette. They're on the Finnish Canadian or the Finnish hockey team, mm-hmm. sorry, as well, the Olympic hockey team. So they're very good athletes and they're unbelievable skaters.
Can she play it here, like in the practice rinks? Can they? Like,
she
set
could
up
come
game?
Out, yeah. Mm-hmm. And on it's easy for hockey because you can just turn your stick over, right?
Yeah.
There's no blade on it, so you can kind of just throw the ring on the ice.
I gotta Google this ring.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But no, they're great skaters. Mm-hmm. Honestly, off the record, maybe hopefully she's a better skater than I am. I'm just a little bit stronger, but we don't need people knowing that. But yeah, no, she's a great athlete. A lot of fun going home. We're just very active. Mm-hmm. people and yeah, I like to, you know, fish and stuff in the off season, yeah. spend time, like I said, with my family at the cottage. And yeah, I
with,
just try to keep
with the three sisters, where do you fit in? Are you like in the middle, or are you the youngest? Are you the like protective older brother? Where are you kind of?
So I got
group?
An older sister and I got two younger ones.
Okay. See, that's a weird place to be in.
Right. We're all about 15 months apart. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. We're very close, like I said.
It's so does the older sister run the show, though? She
likes to think she does.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the boss. But, you know, the other three, we just kind of sometimes look at her and just say, yeah, okay. But
were there any other sports for you when you were growing up? Was hockey always the far and away number one? Or?
I always knew I was going to be a hockey player of some sort. That was my number one love. That was every spare minute of, you know, if I wasn't at school or doing something, it was hockey related. So, that was number one. And you know, I obviously played other sports, played soccer, did a lot of golfing and stuff growing up. Yeah, I just tried to keep as active as possible. Volleyball, play a bunch of different sports. And I think that's good for
there's value to that. Yeah,
exactly. And I know there's a lot of kids now. This is off topic a little bit, but kids.
We're
you know,
here to go.
This was going to be my follow-up for you because kids, I love to bang that drum all the time. Is play as many sports as you can.
Absolutely. And parents think you got to put your kid in hockey 12 months a year. I think that's one of the worst things you can do is, you know, wear a kid out. You got to let them develop other skills, other coordination, stuff like that, playing, you know, soccer and, you know, football or whatever it is, volleyball, these sports that I got the opportunity to play. It's good for you. It's good to have a little break. You're still staying active. It's still a team sport. It gives you a different perspective on the game you're playing and the game of hockey itself too. So I think it's important to do as much stuff as you can as a young guy if you want to be an athlete or even, you know, just in general. It helps you out in life playing team sports and how to deal with people and how to deal with coaches and stuff like that. So yeah,
what's the biggest passion outside of sports? Like, do you collect anything? Are you a super fan of anything? Is there anything outside of sports you really love?
I just like being outside, like the outdoors. Mm-hmm. I love fishing. I like being out in the wild. You know, I'm bad for being on my cell phone quite a bit. My fiance likes to let me know, but
then is that
I
just like TikTok?
More.
Is that what do you?
Yeah,
what do
you, I just yeah. You know, I kind of scroll Instagram, text buddies and stuff like that. Like it's usually like hockey news on Twitter and stuff like that. But I like putting my phone down and just kind of either go for a walk outside in the forest or something like that. Or like I said, I love spending time in my cottage. There's a lake, so we take the boat out and just kind of just relax and life kind of slows down a little bit. So that's nice.
So a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. We covered a lot there, Jameson Olive and I did with Stephen Lawrence of the Panthers. And if you can believe it, we covered even more. If you go to the whole episode, you'll hear more to that conversation. And, of course, the rest of the episode, Jameson and I recap the first few games, everything like that. So go check that out wherever you check out your podcasts after this show is over with, of course, because we've got an exciting guest coming up next from the Panthers Bally Sports Florida coverage. Analyst Jeff Chychrun going to stop by. Former NHLer, Panthers analyst on the other side of the break to talk about the Panthers' start to the year, the Atlantic Division, all kinds of things we're going to cover next. Doug Plagans here with you live, Dan Day on the other side of the glass, and we will check in with Jeff Chychrun coming up on the other side of the break. It's the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back, Panthers Insider Show on a Saturday morning. As always, Doug Plagans coming to you live today, coming to you live from Amerant Bank Arena, where tonight it's the Panthers and the Vancouver Canucks at 7 o'clock. Panthers and the Sharks coming up on Tuesday night. Panthers and Seattle a week from tonight. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. As I like to say, if you want to go to one game or all the games by yourself or with all your friends, we can sort something out that works for you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass, and we are joined now by a special guest looking at the first few Panthers games, looking at some of the Atlantic Division, some of what we've seen around the league. We'll cover it all. We've got Panthers analyst on Bally Sports Florida, former NHLer Jeff Chychrun, my friend and yours, kind enough to stop by. Chick, how's it going this morning?
Dougie, doing well, buddy. I'm up in Ottawa. I'm actually sitting in my cottage this morning waiting to head in for the Senators-Detroit game. at 1 o'clock, and then hoping to catch the Panthers Vancouver later on tonight when I get back. So lots of hockey today.
Well, we talk about covering the Atlantic Division, so why don't we start there? You're seeing an Atlantic Division matchup today. The Panthers and the Leafs had a hard-fought battle back on Thursday, so kind of tying it all in, I guess, first and foremost, looking at it from a broad scope, have you seen a division like this really in the modern era where I think it's safe to say you've got eight teams and seven of them would be disappointed if they don't make the playoffs? And, well, plain and simple, there's just not enough seats at the table for seven of the eight teams to make the playoffs. So have you seen a division this competitive, I guess, in the modern era?
Right. Well, you know what? I know here in Ottawa, it's and similar to Florida, they've been really pushing for that big start, right? So they're off to 3-1 start and looking pretty promising, quite frankly, looking that they just got Josh Norris back the other day. So that's certainly helping them. Boston, 3-0. I'm not sure anybody was expecting that, quite frankly, with a couple of main cogs obviously retiring. Detroit, I'm anxious to see what they look like today. Lots of, you know, a few changes. They're sort of, I don't know what year, three or four in their rebuild, so they must be pretty happy with that. So Tampa, you know, that's a team that just knows how to win. So, and obviously the Panthers, you know, I'm quite happy with the Panthers start. If I look at it, Dougie, with all the changes in the back end, I thought they were really solid in Minnesota. Maybe some growing pains in Winnipeg, and then that Jersey game, they were on fire for 40 minutes. And, you know, I think the Jersey threw everything in the kitchen sink in that third period for that pushback, but did enough to win. And then obviously the game in Toronto. So, but yeah, a lot of clubs. Buffalo sitting 1-3. I'm not sure they expect to be where they are. So lots of teams, promising or hopeful for a really solid year and a playoff push. And like you said, it's crowded at that bus stop. No doubt. They may need a double decker and maybe an accordion type situation on that bus to get everybody in it.
Yeah, I think it just speaks to the overall depth of the Eastern Conference, but especially in the Atlantic Division. Panthers analyst on Bally Sports Florida, Jeff Chychrun, kind enough to stop by. And you mentioned the encouraging Panthers start. Very easily could have had a third win in these four games. I think they play the way that they did in Minnesota in the season opener. They're probably going to win that game 9 times out of 10, considering the chances and everything they got out of that game. But in looking at these last two specifically, New Jersey and Toronto both, two of the most high-octane offenses in the league. In terms of the way the Panthers were able to keep those big guns in check, was there anything that you saw that really stood out? And how encouraging was that, especially because it's well-documented that the Panthers are without two of not just their best defensemen, but two of the league's best defensemen here in the early parts of the season. And defensively, they've been able to do a pretty good job against some of the best teams.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously, you know, I think the guys that were here a year ago are very well aware and know how to play Paul Maurice's defensive structure. And I'm sure that's probably helpful because Mo probably has 13 coaches in that room now based upon their experience last year to help the new guys coming in. I think that communication factor has probably kicked in quite early for the club because they look, you know, outside the Winnipeg game, they look quite cohesive, in my opinion, on the defensive side of the puck. Kudos to Bill Zito, the guys he brought in, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Dmitry Kulikov in particular, a couple of real veteran defensemen, smart players. Really on both sides of the puck, these guys can really play. Mikola, I thought, has had a pretty good start. A little rough in Winnipeg, but I think he's really sort of settled in. And Juvis Belinskis, I've been impressed with his game. I like the way he gets up on the play. He's all four edges. The guy I'm really happy and really enjoy watching is Oliver Ekman-Larsson. You know, my son played with him for 5 years in Arizona. And is he good? Very similar to Aaron Ekblad and Brandon Montour, getting pucks through the net, finding those lanes. And I think his defensive game is very underrated. So all those things on that back end, I'm sure they communicate well with Bobrovsky, and it's they really benefited in the first four games in that regard.
Jeff Chychrun, Bally Sports Florida Panthers analyst, kind enough to stop by this morning. And you mentioned the familiarity with Paul Maurice's system playing a role coming into this year. No doubt there's going to be a comfort level there in year two. But also, how much, and it sounds kind of like a basic stating the obvious kind of thing here, but considering the run the Panthers went on, and the old cliche, they saw what it took last year to make that deep run, how much does that play coming into the year as well? The fact that these guys went through that, a lot of those guys returned, and as a result, a lot of them really came back hungry and motivated this year.
Yeah, isn't that something too, Doug? Because it was a short summer, and obviously expectations go up. With that comes responsibility, and I'm sure they're all accept and embrace that responsibility. But the fact that they're able to, you know, they're not completely healthy yet, obviously, right? So that makes it even more impressive, the fact that they're able to sort of carry on what they did. But they really learned the benefit and the comfort level of being in close games. And I, you know, if I can look at that game in Jersey, just an example, you know, they had a pretty comfortable lead, a couple penalties, and all of a sudden it's a 4-2, 4-3 hockey game. But they never panicked. They settled in. They did enough to feel comfortable to, you know, they chip pucks out when they needed it. They did enough to maintain that lead. And it just looked like, you know, maybe some teams would, or some coaches would be very upset the fact that the third period, you know, you end up giving up three goals and you know, you sort of blow that lead. And I think in the Panthers' case, they're able to sort of take a different look at it and say, no, you know what, we did enough to win. It doesn't always have to be pretty. And one of our post-game comments, Jess and I, was, you know, this game's really tough. And I was actually talking to Kirk Muller and Scotty Allen, the assistant coach with the Capitals, the other day. We talk about the shift in momentum in this league today because of the parity. It's really difficult to play a full 60 minutes where you dominate or really take the pace of play to the other club because, you know, there's not much differential between any club in this league, and it's really easy to have a couple shifts that lead to a third and fourth and really change that momentum around, or sometimes one goal can make a big difference. And so in that regard, I think what the Panthers are doing is really great. Their experience is kicking in because they're used to playing in these type of hockey.
Yeah, they really have a comfort level, I guess, in the face of adversity, I think, is something we've seen out of this team. And one last thing here before we let you get going. We'll let you get back to your morning coffee, and then you can prepare for the Senators and the Red Wings coming up this afternoon in the matinee. But when you look at the Panthers, there are, you know, Sam Reinhart might not be the guy that gets the headlines right away when you have Barkov, when you have Tkachuk, Sergei Bobrovsky on the team, but he's got four goals in his last three games, very quietly leading the team in points here very early in the campaign. And one of those guys takes draws, plays a two-way game, high hockey IQ, does just about everything well. What do you notice the first thing about Sam Reinhart's game that makes him so effective and so consistent?
Yeah, isn't that something? I mean, obviously, second generation, Father Paul was a great hockey player, great defenseman in this league, but those subtle things you just mentioned, Doug, you can see why he was drafted second overall and why he was held in such high regard, but his hockey sense, his hockey IQ, and the way he's able to almost slow the game down to his level and still maintain puck possession, get his looks, get his shots away, because I'm sure he's also, I mean, there's a lot of people on that hockey club, like you mentioned, the Barkovs, the Tkachuks, that no doubt they're keyed in on that game plan by the other team on any given night. But I tend to think Sam Reinhart is someone that's mentioned just about nightly because of those things, because of the fact he's able to get pucks on net. He's a threat to score, particularly on the power play. So I think the fact that I believe he's a keyed-on member on any game plan, the fact that he's able to still get his looks and get those opportunities, that's very impressive to me.
Yeah, no question. The guys he's out there playing against are on a night-to-night basis well aware of the skill set that Sam Reinhart brings to the table. He's Jeff Chychrun, Panthers analyst, Bally Sports Florida. You can catch him and the crew all season long. And, well, Chick, we thank you very much for stopping by and enjoy the game this afternoon. We'll see you again very soon. And like I said, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Doug. I'll see you next Saturday against the Kraken. Look forward to it.
Sounds like a plan. I will be here, and that is Jeff Chychrun. Again, huge thanks to him for his time this morning. Panthers analyst on Bally Sports Florida. And that about takes us to the end of the program. Panthers tonight, they've got an opponent with a whale in their logo, and then the Sharks come in on Tuesday, and then the Seattle Kraken, a mythical sea creature, coming in a week from tonight. So a very aquatic rest of the homestand for the Panthers. Tonight at 7, Panthers Canucks across the radio network. You can catch it on Bally Sports Florida. We'd love to see you here. FloridaPanthers.com. SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK. Big thanks, Jeff Chychrun, for stopping by. Stephen Lawrence for joining us on the Territory Talk podcast. Dan Day for great work on the other side of the glass. And, of course, big thanks to you for tuning in. I'm Doug Plagans. Join us tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff, Panthers Canucks at Amerant Bank Arena. This has been Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back, Panthers Insider Show on a Saturday morning. As always, Doug Plagans coming to you live today, coming to you live from Amerant Bank Arena, where tonight it's the Panthers and the Vancouver Canucks at 7 o'clock. Panthers and the Sharks coming up on Tuesday night. Panthers and Seattle a week from tonight. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. As I like to say, if you want to go to one game or all the games by yourself or with all your friends, we can sort something out that works for you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass, and we are joined now by a special guest looking at the first few Panthers games, looking at some of the Atlantic Division, some of what we've seen around the league. We'll cover it all. We've got Panthers analyst on Bally Sports Florida, former NHLer Jeff Chychrun, my friend and yours, kind enough to stop by. Chick, how's it going this morning?
Dougie, doing well, buddy. I'm up in Ottawa. I'm actually sitting in my cottage this morning waiting to head in for the Senators-Detroit game at 1 o'clock, and then hoping to catch the Panthers-Vancouver later on tonight when I get back. So lots of hockey today.
Well, we talk about covering the Atlantic Division, so why don't we start there? You're seeing an Atlantic Division matchup today. The Panthers and the Leafs had a hard-fought battle back on Thursday, so kind of tying it all in, I guess, first and foremost, looking at it from a broad scope, have you seen a division like this really in the modern era where I think it's safe to say you've got eight teams and seven of them would be disappointed if they don't make the playoffs? And, well, plain and simple, there's just not enough seats at the table for seven of the eight teams to make the playoffs. So have you seen a division this competitive, I guess, in the modern era?
Right. Well, you know what? I know here in Ottawa, it's and similar to Florida, they've been really pushing for that big start, right? So they're off to 3-1 start and looking pretty promising, quite frankly. Looking that they got Josh Norris back the other day, so that's certainly helping them. Boston, 3-0. I'm not sure anybody was expecting that, quite frankly, with a couple of main cogs obviously retiring. Detroit, I'm anxious to see what they look like today. Lots of, you know, a few changes. They're sort of, I don't know what year, three or four in their rebuild, so they must be pretty happy with that. So Tampa, you know, that's a team that just knows how to win. So, and obviously the Panthers, you know, I'm quite happy with the Panthers' start. If I look at it, Dougie, with all the changes in the back end, I thought they were really solid in Minnesota. Maybe some growing pains in Winnipeg, and then that Jersey game, they were on fire for 40 minutes, and, you know, I think the Jersey threw everything in the kitchen sink in that third period for that pushback, but did enough to win, and then obviously the game in Toronto. So, but yeah, a lot of clubs. Buffalo sitting 1-3. I'm not sure they expect to be where they are. So, lots of teams promising or hopeful for a really solid year and a playoff push. And like you said, it's crowded at that bus stop, no doubt. They may need a double decker and maybe an accordion type situation on that bus to get everybody in it.
Yeah, I think it just speaks to the overall depth of the Eastern Conference, but especially in the Atlantic Division. Panthers analyst on Bally Sports Florida, Jeff Chychrun, kind enough to stop by. And you mentioned the encouraging Panthers start. Very easily could have had a third win in these four games. I think they play the way that they did in Minnesota in the season opener. They're probably going to win that game 9 times out of 10, considering the chances and everything they got out of that game. But in looking at these last two specifically, New Jersey and Toronto both, two of the most high-octane offenses in the league. In terms of the way the Panthers were able to keep those big guns in check, was there anything that you saw that really stood out? And how encouraging was that, especially because it's well-documented that the Panthers are without two of not just their best defensemen, but two of the league's best defensemen here in the early parts of the season. And defensively, they've been able to do a pretty good job against some of the best teams.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously, you know, I think the guys that were here a year ago are very well aware and know how to play Paul Maurice's defensive structure. And I'm sure that's probably helpful because Mo probably has 13 coaches in that room now based upon their experience last year to help the new guys coming in. I think that communication factor has probably kicked in quite early for the club because they look, you know, outside the Winnipeg game, they look quite cohesive, in my opinion, on the defensive side of the puck. Kudos to Bill Zito, the guys he brought in, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Dmitry Kulikov in particular, a couple of real veteran defensemen, smart players. Really on both sides of the puck, these guys can really play. Mikola, I thought, has had a pretty good start. A little rough in Winnipeg, but I think he's really sort of settled in. And Juvis Balinskas, I've been impressed with his game. I like the way he gets up on the play. He's all four edges. The guy I'm really happy and really enjoy watching is Oliver Ekman-Larsson. You know, my son played with him for 5 years in Arizona. And is he good? Very similar to Aaron Ekblad and Brandon Montour, getting pucks through the net, finding those lanes. And I think his defensive game is very underrated. So all those things on that back end, I'm sure they communicate well with Bobrovsky, and they really benefited in the first four games in that regard.
Jeff Chychrun, Bally Sports Florida Panthers analyst, kind enough to stop by this morning. And you mentioned the familiarity with Paul Maurice's system playing a role coming into this year. No doubt there's going to be a comfort level there in year two. But also, how much, and it sounds kind of like a basic stating the obvious kind of thing here, but considering the run the Panthers went on, and the old cliche, they saw what it took last year to make that deep run, how much does that play coming into the year as well? The fact that these guys went through that, a lot of those guys returned, and as a result, a lot of them really came back hungry and motivated this year.
Yeah, isn't that something too, Doug? Because it was a short summer, and obviously expectations go up. With that comes responsibility, and I'm sure they're all accept and embrace that responsibility. But the fact that they're able to, you know, they're not completely healthy yet, obviously, right? So that makes it even more impressive, the fact that they're able to sort of carry on what they did. But they really learned the benefit and the comfort level of being in close games. And I, you know, if I can look at that game in Jersey, just an example, you know, they had a pretty comfortable lead, a couple penalties, and all of a sudden it's a 4-2, 4-3 hockey game. But they never panicked. They settled in. They did enough to feel comfortable to, you know, they chip pucks out when they needed it. They did enough to maintain that lead. And it just looked like, you know, maybe some teams would or some coaches would be very upset the fact that the third period, you know, you end up giving up three goals and you sort of blow that lead. And I think in the Panthers' case, they're able to sort of take a different look at it and say, no, you know what, we did enough to win. It doesn't always have to be pretty. And one of our post-game comments, Jess and I, was, you know, this game's really tough. And I was actually talking to Kirk Muller and Scotty Allen, the assistant coach with the Capitals, the other day. We talk about the shift in momentum in this league today because of the parity. It's really difficult to play a full 60 minutes where you dominate or really take the pace of play to the other club because, you know, there's not much differential between any club in this league, and it's really easy to have a couple shifts that lead to a third and fourth and really change that momentum around, or sometimes one goal can make a big difference. And so in that regard, I think what the Panthers are doing is really great. Their experience is kicking in because they're used to playing in these type of hockey.
Yeah, they really have a comfort level, I guess, in the face of adversity, I think, is something we've seen out of this team. And one last thing here before we let you get going. We'll let you get back to your morning coffee, and then you can prepare for the Senators and the Red Wings coming up this afternoon in the matinee. But when you look at the Panthers, there are, you know, Sam Reinhart might not be the guy that gets the headlines right away when you have Barkov, when you have Tkachuk, Sergei Bobrovsky on the team, but he's got 4 goals in his last 3 games, very quietly leading the team in points here very early in the campaign, and one of those guys takes draws, plays a two-way game, high hockey IQ, does just about everything well. What do you notice the first thing about Sam Reinhart's game that makes him so effective and so consistent?
Yeah, isn't that something? I mean, obviously, second generation, his father Paul was a great hockey player, great defenseman in this league, but those subtle things you just mentioned, Doug, you can see why he was drafted second overall and why he was held in such high regard, but his hockey sense, his hockey IQ, and the way he's able to almost slow the game down to his level and still maintain puck possession, get his looks, get his shots away. Because I'm sure he's also, I mean, there's a lot of people on that hockey club, like you mentioned, the Barkovs, the Tkachuks, that no doubt they're keyed in on that game plan by the other team on any given night. But I tend to think Sam Reinhart is someone that's mentioned just about nightly because of those things, because of the fact he's able to get pucks on net. He's a threat to score, particularly on the power play. So I think the fact that I believe he's a keyed-on member on any game plan, the fact that he's able to still get his looks and get those opportunities, that's very impressive to me.
Yeah, no question. The guys he's out there playing against are on a night-to-night basis well aware of the skill set that Sam Reinhart brings to the table. He's Jeff Chychrun, Panthers analyst, Bally Sports Florida. You can catch him and the crew all season long. And Chick, we thank you very much for stopping by and enjoy the game this afternoon. We'll see you again very soon. And like I said, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Doug. I'll see you next Saturday against the Kraken and look forward to it.
Sounds like a plan. I will be here, and that is Jeff Chychrun. Again, huge thanks to him for his time this morning. Panthers analyst on Bally Sports Florida, and that about takes us to the end of the program. Panthers tonight, they've got an opponent with a whale in their logo, and then the Sharks come in on Tuesday, and then the Seattle Kraken, a mythical sea creature, coming in a week from tonight. So a very aquatic rest of the homestand for the Panthers. Tonight at 7, Panthers Canucks across the radio network. You can catch it on Bally Sports Florida. We'd love to see you here. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK. Big thanks, Jeff Chychrun, for stopping by. Stephen Lawrence for joining us on the Territory Talk podcast. Dan Day for great work on the other side of the glass. And, of course, big thanks to you for tuning in. I'm Doug Plagans. Join us tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff, Panthers Canucks at Amerant Bank Arena. This has been Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.